Hello, it's Wednesday, and that means it's time for another edition of the HTXT AfriCast. This week is a little bit different, seeing as the last time we had an AfriCast was 2 weeks ago. We apologize for that, but I mean, it was like a week of public holidays. So
yeah, last week doesn't count.
So joining me in studio today, you just heard him, is Sahil Lala. How are you doing, Sahil?
I'm doing well, and you?
Very well, thanks. And we have a special guest with us today in studio. We have Byron Trent from MSI South Africa. How are you doing, Byron?
Good and you. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. It's a great pleasure to have you on the HTXT AfriCast. So you are here today to tell us about some of your new products that you have coming to South Africa or in the country. We're not 100% sure. That's why you're here, though.
No, they're actually at the moment. So basically, you guys obviously know 8th Gen Intel processors launched sometime at the end of last year for desktops. And now, obviously, it's come to mobile as well. So as of the middle of last month, we now have 8th Gen notebooks, which for the first time in history, we have 6-core and 12-thread Intel notebooks. It's pretty epic.
That's crazy. And I understand that you have one of the first notebooks to contain an i9 processor. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's pretty true. So it's the MSI GT75 Titan. It's i9-8950HK is the SKU, if I remember correctly. So look, also 6 cores, 12 threads, so yeah. Similar to the i7 SKU, but obviously overclockable this time as well.
With
so
the K.
Quite a beast there. Like, I mean, that kind of like 5 gigahertz kind of thing is in its reach, which is pretty crazy.
So one of the things I want to ask is, like notebooks here, so we've seen a couple of people, well, I've seen a couple of people in my realm of friends that have wanted to upgrade their computer. And because of the great crypto mining surge of 2017, they're finding it very hard to find GPUs. So what a lot of them have done have kind of opted to go for a notebook. Is that something that MSI is kind of seeing here in South Africa? Are people more receptive to notebooks these days? Are people buying more notebooks? What are your kind of thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, look, it's one of those topics where it's you know, it's not always relative. I mean, mining is one of those things that have come and gone. This is not the first time we've seen a peak in GPUs. This is not the first time any of this has happened. I mean, I still recall in the days of, like, let's say AMD, it was like R9, 270s, 280s, 290s, those kind of things. There was stock shortages, you know? You know, everyone was buying GPUs like crazy for mining, and then that was when Dogecoin was around. And, you know, it's still around, but you get what I mean.
It just started.
It kind of started, everyone was into the craze, and then it died down. So, of course, there's always going to be an impact. I mean, if there are no GPUs and you need a, you know, let's say a gaming machine and notebooks is the only thing available, that's one side to it. But I wouldn't say that's the reason for an increase in what's been happening with our notebook sales. And obviously, that is something that's been doing well. Like, we are definitely seeing more and more people convert over to using notebooks, or either from a desktop or, let's say, having nothing from in the past. You know what I mean? But I wouldn't say that it's got to do with mining. I think the biggest thing that it has to do with is the kind of gap between desktops and notebooks being diminishing over the years. So if you just recall not that long ago, 9 series NVIDIA cards, you know, let's say 970M, 980M, that kind of thing. You had like a, let's say a 960M, people thought would be like, let's say, a 960 desktop, but realistically, you'd have somewhere around half the power.
You'd have almost like, to my mind, it was exactly. It was like a generation behind,
pretty much,
in terms of performance.
I think a good way of seeing it almost was like, let's say, it was the one down of the previous generation.
Yeah.
So like 970 would be like 770 or 760, that kind of thing. Obviously, because there was that 8th gen gap there. Anyway, that might have just confused people. But either way, what I'm getting at, though, is, you know, since the introduction of 10 series NVIDIA graphics cards for mobile, I think that's been the biggest leap forward for mobile without a doubt. And that's started to impact what people see, the way people perceive notebooks. I mean, in the past, you would go, okay, I need to get the most extreme GPU possible in a notebook just to be acceptable for 1080p gaming.
Yeah.
Today, I mean, in front of me right now, I mean, I've got a small notebook here and it has a 1060 inside of it. And this is pretty much like, you know, almost one-for-one performance of what you'd see inside of a desktop. And I think that's what it's come down to. You know, you used to spend 25,000 Rand buying a notebook and not be able to play games on highest.
Yeah.
And that was just, you know, pathetic. I mean, yeah. I'm not. Yeah. There's no better word for it, you know.
Call a spade a spade.
And you know, what's happened now is getting a 1060 as kind of like a minimum entry point for 1080p gaming at ultra settings, at least.
Yeah.
Starts at like roughly 20-25,000 rand, and you know, there's always the argument that it's more expensive than desktops, but just look at what's happened in the past. I mean, what you had for the price back then versus what you have
what
now.
You have now, yeah.
It's crazy.
And I mean, I think a lot of people will also kind of argue, oh, but a desktop I can upgrade very easily and very quickly. But I mean,
do people? I mean,
that's the question I was about to ask, is do people do this? Oh, every time NVIDIA comes out with a new GPU, do they rush out and buy it?
You know, I think that's also a hard question because, like, let's take myself for an example.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been one of the people that always try to have the latest generation of something when possible. Mm-hmm. I had a 980, I have a 1080 Ti at the moment. Mm-hmm. But that's also just, I've been privileged enough to have that kind of, you know, I work in the tech realm.
Yeah.
Not everyone has that kind of access, and yeah. Maybe they're still sitting on a 960, maybe they're still sitting on a 780.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily think that every single person goes out and says, okay, I've got a 6700K, I need an 8700K or a 7700K, you know, a few months back. That's not really what happens. I mean, let's talk about processors for a second. 2500K. It's almost a decade ago, if it isn't already a decade ago, and it's still good enough for gaming. I mean, to some degree, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's the thing. It's do people actually go and always change to the latest thing every single time it comes out? Or is it, let's say, a subset of amounts of people, or let's say two generations behind, and they're the ones that are upgrading right now, but a year from now it'll be the people that were only a year behind at this stage. You get what I'm trying to say? It's like a leapfrog effect.
It's sort of like, to my mind, it's sort of like people looking at it going, okay, so I'm buying a computer now. I'm buying it for the next 5 years or however long. And then when they come around to upgrading, it's not just upgrading a GPU or the RAM. It's usually a complete overhaul of the system.
Well, I mean, that's even – okay, so let's say the days of DDR2, DDR3 maybe. That kind of memory lasted a very, very long time. Mm-hmm. Like we had generation gaps from, let's say you know, DDR3, I know there was Core 2 quads, you know, very late stage of the Core 2 era. You had DDR3, and then where does DDR3 go up to? Like fifth generation Intel. Like that's a very, very long time where people could still use the same memory. Some motherboards within generations were obviously compatible with each other. So like you would have second and third generation had the same socket, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And then like fourth and fifth and that kind of thing, right? And that's something that's changed, where it's like if you're now just two generations behind, you got to replace your memory. Mm-hmm. Now, we all know the price of memory at this stage is
skyrocketing.
Terrible.
It's crazy.
It's so illegal.
It should
so
be.
So quote Brett from UFP Tech.
Exactly. And I mean, the thing that I'm getting at is if you're going to upgrade your system today, and let's say, like let's take this as an example. You've got a 780 Ti, still respectable GPU. Yeah. You've got, let's say, a 4770K, 16 gigs of RAM, and a 256 gig SSD from that era. That sounds like a respectable system.
Yeah.
But then you got to think to yourself for a second. Okay, so if you want to upgrade anything, where's your like starting point? Because that RAM to replace 16 gigs, ludicrous. Okay.
Yeah.
Getting a new motherboard these days, because obviously you want features and that. And let's be honest, we sell features. You know?
I mean, you want M.2 slots.
Exactly.
You want high speed memory. You want all of these lovely features that are part of computing in 2018.
Yes, like Intel Optane has come out.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's something that people are now phasing into. It was first a bit iffy in the beginning.
Yeah.
Now people see the benefits. And this is what's happening now. There's all these new features. You need a new motherboard. You need new memory. You need a new processor.
You need new coolers. You need a new case.
You need a new case because, this previous cooler I had doesn't fit anymore.
Yeah.
Whatever. You know, people are starting to downscale as well on all like the RTX builds and MATX and that.
Yeah.
And
the compact stuff.
Exactly. Like when last did you guys see someone go and buy like a Corsair Carbide? I think it was like the 600 or whatever. Like one of those massive ones.
Ooh, the massive cases.
Like, no one. Like people don't do that.
I think I saw one a couple of weeks ago and I was like, wow, I haven't seen one of these in years.
Is this like,
you're right. It's
preparing for winter.
Yeah. But you're right, though. I mean, so many people are going for the small and kind of trimmed down weight. I mean, I'm even looking at my next PC build going, I'm looking for like an ITX, mini ITX sort of build.
Exactly.
And that's kind of where people are going.
Let me guess, with RGB.
With RGB.
That's the lighting.
You're not a gamer if you don't have RGB.
You know.
But that kind of leads me to the next thing is that like the more we talk about this, the more I'm like, why wouldn't you go for a laptop? I mean, like you say, when you come down to upgrading a rig that's, like you said, like a couple of years old, five years old even, like you're going to have to replace everything. And at that point, it's kind of like, why not go for a laptop? Because for me, so I travel quite often. And for me, like, I want to be able to play games when I'm traveling. And the laptop that I currently use is not able to do that at all. I mean, you can play, like, Farmville, I guess, or Angry Birds or whatever it might be. But, I mean, having something that's powerful enough to run games, but it's not even just about games though anymore, is it really? I mean,
no, I mean, I guess that's one of the biggest changes that people have started to see as well, is there's already a shift from people using, let's say, MacBooks and graphic design, where they realize, like, I mean, you know, let's be honest, Mac obviously optimizes very well. Mm-hmm. I would say that the Adobe suite runs better on let's say Mac spec for spec of a Windows-based system. But the issue with that is kind of like the threshold, like how high in spec can you go with a Mac?
Yeah.
I mean, the highest end Mac is practically, let's say, I mean, I don't need to boast, but MSI's lowest end gaming notebook.
Yeah.
And that's the truth. And that's the thing, like with a gaming notebook today, you can go further. You can go, okay, i7's not good enough, let's go i9.
Yeah.
16 gigs not good enough, let's go 64 gigs. Let's have two NVMe drives. Let's have a 1080.
Yeah.
We have 1080s in notebooks today, guys. I mean, that's yeah, that's amazing. And that's the thing, that's like, graphic design people are, I wouldn't say they're all moving away from Mac, don't get me wrong, but there's a lot of people that are starting to understand that there's an alternative.
There's a roof to, to a where roof Mac can go, whereas with a notebook, like an MSI notebook, you can kind of go further than the roof. And I think that's another important point to note is, like, Macs are really expensive.
Yeah.
Let's be honest here. And I mean, like, for what you're paying, what are you really getting here? And I think that there's kind of this surge in kind of content creators, like your YouTubers, your Instagram, like people like that, that are kind of looking for a way to edit their content, and a Mac might not cut the mustard, or it's just too slow, or it's just too expensive, or that sort of thing.
It's something I've actually seen before. It's quite a sad thing, to be quite honest, that there's a lot of content creators that just kind of, you know, they're told, you need a MacBook, you need an Nikon camera, and that's kind of like the starting point, you know?
Yeah.
And realistically, it's like the phone that's in their pocket is probably good enough.
Yeah.
And the notebook, I mean, what do MacBooks start at? I mean, they're starting at 20, 30, 40,000 Rand for dual cores. I mean, we're sitting with six cores for the same price. And this is the thing, is I understand the stigma. I understand that, you know, let's say you go to school, you know, your teacher teaches you how to do something a certain way. This is the Pythagorean, you know, law, whatever, that kind of thing. I'm sorry, it's been a decade. But you get what I'm saying? It's Pythagoras, whatever. So it's like, these are certain ways you're taught to do things. And obviously within design, especially in South Africa, America, that kind of thing, people are told, you're doing design, get a MacBook. And it's a stigma. And people use it and it works. The thing is, it does work for them. So let's say they go and buy an 11,000 Rand MacBook Air. It'll do the job it needs to do. The thing is that they don't realize is that MacBook Air is slow.
Yeah.
And the alternative to that could be way faster. I mean, I just look back to the notebook we gave you about a year ago, that CX.
Yeah.
And that was roughly the same price point.
Yeah.
That thing was still four cores, eight threads.
Yeah.
And that's our like lowest
GPU,
end.
It has a discrete GPU in it.
Exactly.
I mean, it's got enough storage. You don't have to have 1,000 dongles if you want to transfer stuff. But I mean, like, when you handed that over to us, it was kind of like, oh, we look. I mean, it might not be the best for games, but as a work machine, for somebody that's doing something as a graphic designer or somebody that's working with video, like that sort of that little bit of extra power from a discrete GPU. Is
it makes a world of difference.
It really does. It really does. Like, I mean, I've used the MacBook Air, and like you say, it's slow. It really is slow. I mean, you sit down.
Let's not hate on other brands, but
okay, I'm not hating on another brand yet. But I mean, I've sat down with that, and then sat down with a desktop that just had a little bit more RAM, a little bit more CPU, and a discrete GPU, and it was like apples and oranges in terms of difference. Like, oh, I want to edit an image. Cool. 1, 2, 3. Done. On the Air, and I mean, it's designed to do that. It just felt really slow. Like I was trying, like I had to cheer it along. You can do this, little laptop.
Look, getting back to that, I mean, I think the biggest thing is there's definitely been a situation where people realize, look, I can build a desktop. I can get two 1080 Ti's. I can get three 1080 Ti's. I can get a Titan V, that kind of thing. Like those people exist, you know. NVIDIA obviously loves them. Intel loves them.
Yeah.
You know, you can get Threadripper. You can get i9, you can go for those kind of things that, let's say, aren't in a notebook at this stage. But what you got to realize is how many people
Yeah, like it's a very exists. Niche market, basically.
It's extremely niche.
Yeah, and it's an enthusiast market.
Like, let's take the South African market. I mean, we all know that South Africa actually has, funny enough, people that, you know, throw their cash around and show off their 1080 Ti's and three-way SLR. But the average consumer in South Africa, I would say, probably has a 1050 Ti, 1060 maybe, that kind of thing. You know, the odd occasion, there's a guy with a 1070, 1080, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And going back to that, if I just, let's say, look at our latest notebooks that launched about a month ago, 8750H, so it's 6-core, 12 threads.
Yeah.
It's outperforming a 7700K. 7700K desktop processor from not even a year ago.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Come on. Like, fair enough. It's not as fast as the 8700K at this stage, but, this is the thing. It's do you want the convenience of having a system that you can just close, chuck in your bag, and walk off?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people now work from home. A lot of people are becoming freelancers.
Yeah.
We don't see the standard setup where people go to an office every single day and there's a desktop there for them. They go to meetings. They attend courses all over the country.
Doing presentations.
Exactly. And that leads to more people needing a portable device. But here's the thing. Do you go and have this beastly desktop at home and a MacBook Air? Sorry, give me a second. I'll just move that away. So do you go from having a beastly system at home and a MacBook Air, and then where do you store your files? Because there's always going to be this disconnect. Yeah. It's, for starters, you're on two different operating systems, right?
And for anybody that's like, oh, but the cloud, okay, cool. You download a gig's worth of data while you're out in the field.
Well,
enjoy.
You know, even taking that aside, as an example, my fiance is a graphic designer.
Yeah.
And lately she's been working on her desktop, but all of her files she's been working from a NAS. So the thing is, before, she doesn't really understand tech too much, I'll be quite honest with you.
Yeah.
She obviously understands that a higher number is a better kind of processor, that kind of thing. But she doesn't know the internals and all that. So she was working off the NAS, and a lot of the Photoshop and Illustrator files that she was opening were just really, really slow, and she couldn't understand.
Mm.
She's like, oh, I really need more RAM. My PC's so slow. Don't you want to upgrade it for me? What's wrong with this thing? And I said, well, listen, you got 32 gigs of RAM in your system. You got a 6700K. I mean, this is not a terrible system for someone that doesn't know spec, you know?
Yeah.
And what it came down to is that she's using a 10-100 Ethernet cable and transferring files.
Oh, so that was the bottleneck there.
And this is the thing, if you think 10-100, well, okay, now equate that to internet. 10-100, so 100 meg internet. Does that sound good, guys? I mean, of course, that sounds amazing.
It sounds amazing.
But now here's the issue. If you're working on cloud files and you're making edits all the time, even 100 meg line's not good enough.
Yeah, no.
NVMe speed, more than 2 gigabits per second.
Yeah.
Now you're talking about 100 megabit. Most people don't even have that.
Yeah.
Mm. So cloud,
fair enough.
Cloud's great, but more archiving than anything else.
So one of the things I also wanted to mention, like, I mean, we go on about the i9s and the 10 series and whatever NVIDIA is calling their next GPU SKU. But something
I'm not going to tell you.
But one of the things that I'm really interested in is MSI's cooling. Because this is something that I've kind of always admired about MSI. Is no matter which notebook I use from your lineup, it never gets hot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, like, obviously within reason. But like what this notebook right now, I put my hands over it and my palms immediately start sweating. But
which
MSI
is not MSI. You must
no,
mention.
No, it's not an MSI notebook. It's another brand who I won't mention. But one of the things, like, how does MSI get that? Like, how much work do you guys put into your cooling? Because it really is phenomenal.
Well, I mean, look, I'm obviously not part of the R&D team.
Yeah.
But I have been to head office. I've spoken to some of the guys there, gotten illustrations, that kind of thing, seen the notebooks open. And I'll be quite honest with you, I was surprised. I mean, in the past, I didn't work for MSI. I've obviously had competing brand notebooks myself.
Yeah.
And cooling is something that always annoyed me because let's take 9 series we're talking about again.
Yeah.
I had a notebook from another brand with a 960M. 960M is much slower than a 960 desktop, but also when it thermal throttles, it's even worse than that. And I'm talking about like getting Dota at 80 frames per second. I mean, that's just not a playable experience in my opinion. Okay, like, yes, maybe privilege, but let's be honest, esports titles, you need more than 120.
120 hertz.
You know? And the thing I'm getting at, though, is, MSI has surprised me. I mean, I started the company, I said, how do you guys do this? Opened up one of the notebooks and got shown, and Cooler Boost technology is what they call it, and it's amazing. I mean, a lot of the, so depending on the model, I mean, let's be honest, it's, you know, you can have the lowest end model, you can have the highest end model.
Yeah.
The higher end obviously has better cooling because it's just more R&D that goes into it.
And there's more temperatures in there that you need to kick out.
Exactly.
And
I mean, like, you need to, let's say you want a cooler Intel onboard graphics, or let's say onboard graphics built into CPU versus a 980 versus a 1080 versus a 1080 SLI. Like, it gets hot.
Yeah.
So, one of the things that they do is on some of our notebooks, depending on how high end it goes, we'll actually separate the heat pipes of the GPU and the CPU.
Okay.
So a lot of companies will integrate them together just because it saves down costs, that kind of thing. So
yeah,
you'll have two heat pipes going across from CPU to GPU to the fans.
Yeah.
The issue is CPUs are actually the thing that are very scary when it comes to temps.
Yeah.
CPUs bottleneck and CPUs get to like 95 degrees within
and then
no
start
time.
Throttling, yeah.
And the problem with that though is if your CPU is sitting at 95, let's say your GPU is only supposed to be sitting at 60.
Now it's also at 95.
Exactly. It gets to 95 because it's heat that's spreading.
Yeah.
So with Cooler Boost, like, you know, let's take our Raider for an example, Cooler Boost 5 technology. It's amazing. I mean, honestly, there's like four external vents, two fans, seven heat pipes, if I remember correctly. And these heat pipes are obviously distributed. And that's how they get it right. So they have fans that obviously, let's say, blow the air away via more than one vent. And then the heat pipes will obviously go on the CPU and GPU independently.
Yeah.
And the thing that's great about that is, let's say for some, you know, I'm not going to say it's something that should happen, but you're out in the Sahara or whatever, and your CPU starts running 95 on the radio. Yeah. I highly doubt that's a normal scenario. At least the GPU is not going to. And in games, that kind of thing, like GPU is what's most important. I mean, you can have a CPU at 2.2 gigahertz, at 3.2 gigahertz, whatever the case is. As long as you've got a good GPU, games are generally going to run fine.
Yeah.
And you don't want your GPU to thermal throttle.
No.
Thermal throttling on CPUs is something that happens across any brand, across any device. I mean, it's not something you can't
Happens
voice.
On your smartphone.
Exactly. I mean, I don't know if you guys remember, I think it was the S6 that had the
thermal throttle. Yeah.
And I mean, obviously companies do as much as they can. So one of the things I saw, which blew my mind, was when we got the Raider in, and this was during the mining craze. And I thought, well, you know, MSI might fire me for this, but let's see if it can mine. Like, you know, just give it a chance to see what see kind what, of temps I get.
Yeah.
And 65 degrees Celsius.
Wow.
I'm not joking. I mean, you guys can honestly try it yourself. I know people call me out for this and they say, oh, you must be lying, but go and check any review you want. The 1060 inside of it, MSI G63 VR Raider, does not go above 65.
It's amazing though, actually.
And it's mind-blowing.
And one of the things that's particularly amazing is that, like, and it's a little thing, it's a really small thing, it's that the air blows away from you.
Yes.
Like, it's not blowing to the sides, it's going out of the back of the notebook, away from the user. It's something that I'm just like, why did nobody else think of this?
You know, you say that, when I was studying graphic design a few years ago, I still remember I had a very bad notebook, if you put it that way. And it was the hottest, loudest one in the classroom. And I used to obviously sit in class every now and then and, you know, Alt Tab, play some Dota 1 in class.
Yeah.
Oh, and problem with that, though, is obviously thermals start going up.
Yeah.
My hand would get so hot sometimes I couldn't play games on the right because the air vent was on the right.
Oh, my God.
And it would literally go straight against my hand. But what I would do is I would obviously move my hand as close to the notebook to make little movements.
Yeah.
Because I was playing a game in class and I didn't want the teacher to find out. Look, it was bad. But this is the thing. Like, I mean, thermals have improved.
Yeah.
Processors have improved. GPUs have improved. Getting back to that whole thing, I mean, why do people buy notebooks today? Because they're good. I mean, it's not just a case of
it's
I need something
answer.
To move around. It's a great experience. It's the price you pay today sometimes can be more expensive, sometimes can be cheaper. I mean, you mentioned UFD Tech just now. You guys have seen that video of his where he kind of proved that some notebooks are cheaper than desktop.
I actually watched that video on last week sometime.
I mean, this is the thing. I think a lot of the time people forget that if you have, let's say you're pricing a new desktop, there's still a lot of components from the previous one.
Yeah.
You might be keeping hard drives. You're lucky if you're keeping RAM, let's be honest.
Yeah.
but you're keeping a screen. You're keeping a keyboard and mouse, that kind of thing. And this is the thing, like, things do improve. A lot of people say, oh, I've had the same Samsung 22-inch 16x10 screen for like 10 years. Whoop-de-doo, like, go and compare that to something else and you'll see there's been major improvements over the years.
Yeah.
You know, and let's take it down to a notebook now. What's included? I mean, okay, I'm not going to argue and say there's a mouse. Go and buy yourself a mouse.
Yeah, but
trackpad's not for gaming. But
yeah,
you've got a SteelSeries keyboard. Yeah. You've got 120 hertz sometimes, which, 144 hertz.
Let's just be honest. That SteelSeries keyboard in your notebooks is really good. It's not like a normal laptop keyboard. Like, I actually enjoy typing on one of those keyboards.
Look, I'm proud to be part of this team because it is something that's really amazing. Like, it's one of the only notebook keyboards that I've used over the years that I feel is good enough to actually play games on. Yeah. It's not just this mushy mess.
Yeah.
You know? But getting back to that, I mean, that's the thing. SteelSeries keyboard, how much is that going to cost you? 120 or 144 hertz monitor with a decent response time, viewing angles.
Yeah, that's already expensive. Yeah.
That's like a GPU price, okay?
Yeah.
Now are we saying 1060, 1070, 1070 Max Q and that tiny Stealth we were showing the other day? Chassis, power supply, hard drives, SSDs, RAM. Now, and this is the thing. People go, okay, so they build a system. Well, what about networking? Do you have wireless AC in your desktop?
No, definitely not.
Do you have a battery in your desktop? Can you use it when the power goes out?
No,
can
I can't.
Can you take it to a presentation?
I found that out this morning, actually, when the power went out. I was like, oh, yeah, I need power to run a computer. Hey.
Exactly. And I mean, look, this is the thing. I don't hate desktops. I mean, I've been kind of one of the people that, like I say, I'm very privileged and proud that I've been able to be in the tech space for quite a long time. But, you know, my thing is, I wouldn't say one's better than the other. I'd say the best is having both.
Yeah.
You know, if you can, have a great desktop, have a great gaming notebook. But the difference is, which one is more robust? Which one is more practical if you can only have one? And I would say notebooks.
I would have to agree with you on that. I mean, just for the sheer point of being able to go, okay, I can take this with me anywhere I go. Okay, the debatable, like can't go swimming with it. But I mean, if I'm traveling and I'm out on the road and I want to play games, like, this is a really, really good offer. Yeah. I mean, you also have do you guys still have the Killer Wireless in here?
Yes.
Yeah, so you have the Killer Wireless, which is great. You have Cooler Boost in there. I mean, and I don't think people understand just how thin they are. Like, they are thin and lightweight, and there's a full GPU in there.
What do you think about the GS65 that I showed you?
It's amazing. It's really incredible.
Beautiful.
It really, and it looks like an ultrabook. Like, it looks like something that would not be out of place in a CEO's office. Yeah. Honestly, it doesn't look like a gaming. I think the most gamery notebook I've seen from you guys was that huge Titan we reviewed last year. And that's just because it is a gaming notebook. So let's
with a slower CPU than this, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, I think you do have some really good points there about, like, it's a convenience thing, but having both is best. But I think there really is a point for people to kind of go, okay, so I'm about to build a new rig. Do I want to do that, or do I just build a notebook?
I think there's always going to be an argument. I mean, like, let's say if he has an argument. You're a student, but not a student at university. You're a student in high school.
Okay.
You most likely don't use a notebook at school, although, I mean, it's been more than a decade than I was in school, so I don't think that's
the case.
Maybe they do. Maybe they do these days. I mean, I know my old school uses iPads now, but anyway.
Yeah.
You're not going to use a notebook. Because the thing is, like, if you go to a friend's house or whatever, like, I don't know, there's probably better things to do with your life than literally drag your PC along every single time. But you can have a high-end desktop at home, and that'll probably serve your needs.
Mm.
Or let's say you're an architect and you literally just, you need the best there possibly is. You need to have, let's say, Titan Vs or whatever the case is, those Quadro, I think they're P6000s or something. Like, there's always going to be a case where desktops cannot be replaced.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But at the same time, it's like, there's practical terms and there's not. I mean, there's argument, let's say you can play on the train, you can play in the car. Okay, let's be fair. Like, can you really?
Not whether really.
Even if you have a Switch in your hand, like, people get car sick. I mean, Brett and I drove to Cape Town, I think it was a year ago, and basically had a test bench on the back seat, a full 22-inch monitor on his screen. We tried to do this, like, whole Ryzen system on the go in my car.
Yeah.
Blew many fuses in the car, by the way. Thanks, Brett. I mean, the thing is, we eventually got this system working, but just using a keyboard and mouse on his lap was infuriating.
Yeah.
And you say, okay, well, obviously a notebook has a keyboard built into it. What do you do with a mouse?
Yeah.
Can you play a game without a mouse?
No.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like, yes, there's notebooks are for portability, but it doesn't mean using them in a portable environment all the time. It's more just the convenience of slapping it closed and moving it along.
Yeah.
And you can't do that with your desktop.
I think it's best for people to kind of look at what they are going to use the computer for. And I mean, if you could get away with buying a notebook to do what you would have done with a desktop, why not?
My thing is, my recommendation to people is start with a notebook.
Yeah.
Start with a notebook no matter what in mind. The reason is, it is more convenient. It's something you can use anywhere, anytime. you know, let's, okay, as much as I just argued against that, yeah, it's still usable. I wouldn't say it's necessarily always recommended.
Yeah.
If you need more power and cannot afford more, then consider a desktop. Yeah. But realistically, like, this is the thing a lot of people don't understand. You know, I get so, so upset by this. You get people that'll have a K processor. They'll have, let's say, a B motherboard.
Okay.
So, like, let's say B250M and a 8700K.
Yeah.
With a stock cooler. Okay. So, there's already money was wasted, let's be honest. Then they've
lots
got a,
of money was wasted.
Lots of money was wasted. They've got a 1080 Ti.
Okay.
And they have a 900p 60 hertz monitor.
Wow. You're trying to trigger people here.
Yeah, I feel like
I have seen that so many times.
But why though? It's just like that makes no sense.
Education. I mean, what are you told? So let's say you don't know anything about desktops. What is the thing you are told?
i7 1080 Ti.
Exactly. That's that they bought. They bought exactly what they were
an
told.
An i7 and a 1080 Ti, yeah.
But meanwhile, no one said, okay, you know that...
hey, what sort of PCI do you need? Do you need M.2 slots? Do you need... How many RAM channels do you need? Like,
exactly.
How many DIMM slots do you need?
Myself and Sahil, you know, I remember speaking to you recently about that build for another guy. You were asking recommendations. Yes. And... you know, this is the thing. People, RGB. I love RGB, but spending...
It's not a spec.
No, it's not a spec. Adding 500 to 1,000 Rand more for RGB
just
RAM.
Just flashing lights. It's crazy.
Exactly. But then going for, let's say, an RX 580 instead of a 1070 because you wanted that RGB RAM. I mean, there's always got to be a limitation to aesthetics versus performance, you know? So that is the thing. It's like, what is most practical for you? Are you an architect who needs something on the go because you're seeing lots of clients? Are you someone who just wants a flashy desktop at home? There's a product for everyone. Yeah. I don't hate on someone for having one or the other. I just get annoyed when people buy products that can't,
they don't match. Yeah.
I mean... It's like having an i3 second gen and a 1080 Ti.
Yeah.
And then arguing the fact that, I've got a 1080 Ti.
Cool, it's dude. Like,
enjoy your bottleneck.
Exactly. You know? It's like, this is the thing. There's always got to be a balance. And to be honest, that's something that notebooks have actually done very well.
Yeah.
The balance is always there.
That was something that I was about to ask about, is like the balance of your notebooks. Because, I mean... I've seen a couple of notebooks where it's like, oh, here's an i3, okay? But like with MSI notebooks, you always kind of get a good processor paired with a really good GPU, paired with the right amount of RAM at a decent speed, or at the speed that people can actually take advantage of.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's something that a lot of people need to recognize, is looking for those certain things. Because, I mean, a lot of times you'll find a notebook that's like, oh, it's got an i7, it's got 32 gigs of RAM. And then it's got no...
MX150.
Not even. Like onboard, HD 650 Intel graphics.
Well, I mean, let's take this as an example. So I had a recent trip to Durban. I think it was March. I walked into a retailer. I'm not going to mention which one. But a customer walks in and the guy says, you know, I'm looking for a notebook. And I've always fell for this. No matter what store I'm in, my whole life since like probably the age of 14, if I see someone asking for a recommendation on some tech and I'm in that same store, like I will go take over from that salesperson. Because I just hate it. Like I want a pink laptop, you know, that kind of thing. Like those customers get ripped off all the time.
All the time.
So I literally say to this kid, like, what are you actually looking for? You know, how much do you have to spend? What are you looking for? He mentions his price to me and he's looking for something for like very, very lightweight architectural design.
Okay.
He's a student at like, I think it was DUT or something like that. I can't remember the exact details. So I said to him, okay, well, like how much is it? And he's like, no, roughly 15 grand. So I said to him, well, that's pretty, you know, decent. You can find something for that for sure. So we actually had a sample of ours with an i5 and a 1050, you know, a little bit even lower than that price point. And I said to him, that's the thing. It's all about balance. I mean, if you don't go and get yourself an i7 with onboard or get yourself an i3 with a 1070. Like, you're going to have to find a balance because your budget can only afford that.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want more, you got to pay more. That's life. So I said to him, this is probably your best bet. So he says, no, but I need an i7. So I said to him, okay, fair enough. Who told you need an i7? No, my lecturer. Which i7? No, any i7, I just need an i7. Well,
that doesn't make any sense.
So I say to him, look, you get U-series, you get H, you get Q, you get what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And eventually this kid says, no, you know, I'm going to buy this laptop here. It's an Ultrabook. It has a 70, I think it was like 7500U. I don't know the exact SKU of the U-series. dual core, you know, 4 threads, and had an MX150. And I said to him,
"That's
dude,
not going to help you
like,
at all.
What are you doing?" And he said, "No, well, like the graphics card's not as important for me because I'm an architectural student." Okay, to be fair, I do sort of get that because I do know some design apps favor CPU versus GPU.
Yeah, I know like ZBrush doesn't use any GPU sort of thing, but really? That's modeling. Yeah, doesn't use any GPU, which is weird.
I guess it's because it's 2D layers.
Yeah.
Either way, okay, so like I say to him, like, fair enough, but do you realize that this i5 is faster than that i7? He says, "No, that's impossible." I said, "Dude, this is a 4-core. That's a dual core.
Oh, my word.
Like, there's a bit of a difference. Sure, they both have 4 threads, but I mean, real threads. You get what I'm saying? Like, at least in terms of comparisons.
Yeah.
And this is the thing. Like, no matter how much I try to convince this guy that I even showed him specs on notebookcheck.com. I mean, notebookcheck.net. I think it is. I can't remember.
Yeah, I think it's .net.
.net. I showed him. I'm like, look, these are the actual things that you're going to be doing with real benchmarks. I'm not just trying to sell this to you because of the brand. Like, go and buy another brand if you really need to at the end
but
of the day.
But get the same
like,
specs.
Yeah, I'm an honest man. Like, buy decent specs.
Yeah.
You're going to regret this. And eventually,
because, I mean, it hurts brands like MSI at the end of the day because this person buys an MSI notebook that doesn't fit their specifications. And then they go, "Oh, this MSI notebook is terrible."
Exactly. You got to recommend
it. But it's not
it.
About that. It's about the
consumer
fact.
Education,
yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. So this is what I'm getting at, that at the end of the day, he bought the i7s. And I just looked, shook my head and went, "Well, what can I do?"
Yeah.
Because he bought it and I know he's going to regret his purchase.
Yeah.
And I know part of him wants to return it, or maybe he already has. But this is the thing. You can't always change people's perception because that's where I say you're going to get the guy that gets a 1080 Ti and an 8700K with, you know, held together by a toothbrush. Because just that's the thing. Those are the only things that matter to him.
So,
it's hard.
So you said that the newest MSI notebooks are available. What are they and where can people get their hands on them?
Okay, so we have a few different SKUs at this stage.
Okay.
We have the GL series, which is our sort of lower end. GP series, more performance based. GE, which is now the Enthusiast, which now those as well have that RGB on the back of it. I don't know if you've
seen
that.
Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's pretty crazy. GS, so like the GS65 that's behind me right now that I showed you guys. And then the GT, like the GT75 with the mechanical keyboard. So there's lots of different SKUs. They're generally available countrywide already.
Okay.
Different 8th gen. So you'll see them at, let's say, Take A Lot, Eve Tech, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Easiest is probably to go to, I think it's msi.com/where-to-buy.
Okay.
People will be able to see, you know, the different resellers and retailers in South Africa. But look, I think if you just Google it, I mean, Google MSI 8th gen notebook or 8750H, that kind of thing, you'll find it. And we even have promotions on Take A Lot for 8th gen right now,
Awesome.
Eve Tech right now.
We'll put links to those at the bottom of this podcast.
I would really recommend people take a look at the GP series, to be honest. It's, in my opinion, best price to performance. I mean, it's a performance end kind of thing. That's where you're paying a little bit less than the GE, maybe losing some of the cooler features like the RGB in that, but you're getting a better chassis and a better cooling in that than the GL. And still get a 1060, 1070, you know, decent i7 with, you know, 12 threads. So that's kind of my very most decent recommendation.
Okay.
But it's all price. I mean, if you can only afford less or more, there's other things.
Well, shop around. I mean, go into the MSI website, check what sort of notebook you want, and then check.
I think people don't even realize that we're very, very privileged in this country that we have every SKU available.
That's awesome. That I did not know.
In terms of the gaming side.
Yeah.
You know, like, we have obviously workstations and that we don't bring all of those in, but we have every single type of gaming notebook that MSI produces in this country.
I did not know that, actually.
Whatever you're looking for, you can get.
That is incredible. So msi.com?
I think it's /where-to-buy.
Okay,
might
cool.
be TO or 2. I can't remember exactly.
Just Google msi.com.
Google msi.com. Or just go to msi.com and then search where to buy.
Let me just do this. Okay, Google, where can I buy MSI notebook?
Did that too? No, it didn't trigger mine. Awesome. Okay, so I didn't realize that we were going to go. Okay, so we're just going to cut out the Destiny.
Just leave it
on. We've been going
for
like 40 minutes
already.
This
was perfect.
This was awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's just about all the time we have. We spent 40 minutes talking about computers, guys. That's great. I think that's awesome. That's fantastic. But there's some really good advice there for folks that are looking to buy a new rig or want to buy a notebook what to look out for. Don't just buy an i7 and 1080 Ti.
Well, I mean, buy them, but buy the rest of the components.
But know what you're buying.
Educated decision, yeah. Basically. Exactly. Like, 1060,
get an i5. 1050 Ti, get an i3. Like, there's a balance.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, Byron, for stopping in. I'll see you this weekend, actually, because I'm coming to look at all these notebooks. Is it this weekend?
Oh, yes. Might as well mention to the public.
Go for it.
At the Nexus this Saturday, I think it's the 12th of May, we're going to have a MSI kind of fan gathering to showcasing our notebooks, that kind of thing. So media will be invited a little bit earlier than that, but I think from 1 p.m. onwards is open to public. So you can come take a look at our new samples. We've got the GT75 rapid mechanical switches, the very low-profile ones.
Oh, wow.
Really cool.
Yeah.
The GS65, which is honestly the best-looking notebook on earth, that the Stealth
Thin. You have to see that in person.
Yeah, you really do.
It's incredible. We've got the new Raider RGB, so that's cool. And then there's obviously the desktop side too. So, I mean, I know I've been speaking notebook, but I mean, we MSI, we have a lot going on.
Yeah.
So we've got the new controllers of ours. We've got.
Oh, yeah, I'm really interested in those.
Yeah, and they're pretty affordable too. I think we've got a Ryzen 2 build. We've got a i7 or it might even be i9. I'm not 100% sure.
Okay.
Don't call me out on that. pretty cool, you know, systems all together, that kind of thing. And I'm trying to remember, there was something else we were also showcasing. Yes. Our new monitors.
Oh, so MSI monitors?
Yes, with RGB.
Of course. So that's this Saturday at the Nexus in Randburg, which is 21 Harley Avenue, I believe, or Harley Street.
I'm not 100%
you know
sure,
what?
But if you Google...
We will put a link to the Google directions at the bottom of this podcast.
Awesome.
Yep. So people can find it. And then that's at 1 o'clock, correct?
Yeah, so open to public from 1. Don't come earlier. It's closed for media at that stage. But hang around. They have amazing milkshakes there. I'm sure
everybody tells me this, that I've never had a milkshake at the Nexus. So I think that's an excuse enough to go.
It's
and obviously to see all the MSI tech.
Fair enough.
So that's this Saturday. Thank you so much, Byron, for joining us. I really appreciate it. Sahil, thanks for stopping in and helping us talk technology. Really appreciate it. And for myself, Brendan Lotz, cheerio, guys.
Bye. We'll
cheers,
see
guys.
See you all next week. Cheers.
The number you have dialed is not in service at this time.